CliffCentral.com.
I have a very dramatic announcement, so anyone with a weak heart should leave now.
Unreal. Revolution. Uncensored. Revolution. Unfiltered. Revolution. Unchanged. Revolution. Unadulterated. Revolution. Unbelievable. CliffCentral.com. Revolution.
You're listening to Professor David Block, and it's my singular joy and pleasure each week to take you onto a journey. The journey might be one of space, the journey might be one of the macrocosm, the cosmos out there, or the topic might be to do with looking up within the microcosm. But it's always focused on science, on the person, on attitude, on motivation, on a sense of being, on a sense of integrity, on a sense of purpose, on a sense of mission, on a sense of journey. So today our coverage is going to be entitled something very exciting. I'm entitling this Galaxy Collisions in the Heavens Above and on Earth Below. Galaxy Collisions in the Heavens Above and on Earth Below. Now, we've got a caller waiting for us, and her name, I believe, is Ashley. And Duncan, let's get Ashley on the line and you interact with me. Ashley.
Hi, Professor. How are you?
I'm looking up, and how are you?
Not too bad, thanks, Prof.
It's awesome to hear your voice across the miles and to know that you're following CliffCentral.com. Now, just by means of a little introduction to all our listeners, I must say that, of course, while I study galaxies every day and while our theme is galaxies in collision, galaxies, Duncan, have been colliding down here at Wits, as you've probably heard, Duncan. There have been some serious atomic bombs there.
Sad news, Professor.
It's very, very, very sad news. And so, I am so thrilled that Dr. Hutchison has called in, Ashley Hutchison, because she is someone who is deeply committed to the cause of truth and of integrity and of excellence at the university from which I come, Wits University. And Ashley, let's go back to the beginning days, because this has been so much in the news lately. Initially, there was a call, of course, for fees not to be increased.
Now, no, of course, Prof, yes.
That's right. Now, how did you feel about it initially, Ashley? Let's not rush it. You know, when we look up, we have to take things easy.
No, of course. Look, to be perfectly honest, I was very, very supportive of the initial protest for the 0% increase.
Yes.
And I really commend the students' efforts for making this happen.
Absolutely.
What I'm very concerned about, however, at the moment, is that there seems to still be disruptions at universities across South Africa.
That is true.
And, I mean, as a lecturer, I'm just really worried about my students writing the exams and passing.
Yes.
This is really vital to their future.
Yes.
And, you know, they need to continue with their careers.
Yes.
I just really hope that, I mean, these protests have been extremely successful, but I think the time now is really should be focusing on exams.
Yes.
And if we want to support education, you have to do this by actually writing your exams. Otherwise, it's contradictory to the cause.
Now, absolutely yes. So. Now, Ashley, when the protests first started out, as I recall, there was only one item on the agenda, and that was one of fees. Now there seems to be a whole plethora of agendas thrown in nationally. In fact, Would you like? How does that take you as a lecturer at WITS?
Well, look, I remember about 2 weeks ago, almost 2 weeks ago to this day, I went to this university as usual on Wednesday.
Yes.
And the police were there, and they actually told me to go home.
The police told you to go home.
I was not very impressed because, you know, I had a lecture that day.
Yes.
And I really wanted to, I didn't want to let my students down.
Yes.
But I had to go home. I was not allowed into this.
Yes.
The entrances were blocked.
Is that right?
So I just left, and I mean, I really was worried. I didn't know that it would last for 2 weeks.
Yes.
And again, like I said, I do support the cause.
Yes.
But the initial cause.
Yes.
The 0% increase has actually been, that fight has been won.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I feel if further issues are to be raised, they really should remain on hold until exams have been completed.
Yes. Now, of course, I have this analogy with space, as you know, and that is, you know, I see each student, for example, as a jewel. I see students, as you know, I've taught since the 1970s. I see great potential in students. I align with their deep desires to be educated and so forth. However, Mr. Mandela, whom I did meet, of course, as you know, several times, he did say at the time, Ash, that university was a privilege and not a right. Education is certainly, primary education and education school is a right, of course. But how do you feel about Mr. Mandela's thoughts on universities?
You know, Prof, I'm just going to be, you know, extremely honest.
Yes,
please
do. I really
feel that deserving students, regardless of their background, deserve a chance at university.
Yes.
If they are good students, even if they come from poor backgrounds, they really deserve a chance.
Yes.
And I will hold on to that belief for as long as I live.
Yes, yes.
I really, really strongly believe that.
Now, Ashley, of course, what's happened is that politics, Duncan, has entered the arena on a big scale.
Mm.
And what's actually happened yesterday was that I was sitting in the Senate room at the university. It's basically the Senate is really at the echelon of decision-making process at WITS. One has the Senate, and then you have council, and that is it. It was, it reminded me much of my days in the 1980s, the turbulent Fort Hare days, when the students stormed the Senate House. It was, I think one's got to draw a line between genuine cause and other agendas. How do you feel about that? Do you agree with me, Duncan?
Absolutely. Yeah, sorry, Puff. I also agree here.
Yes. So how do you feel about, I mean, for example, yesterday you saw it's been, I'm not releasing anything confidential because it's been on the news feeds worldwide. How did you see how do you as a lecturer who has the interests of your students so much at heart, how do you feel when you see, for example, the senators, you know, sitting there and the meeting is totally hijacked by groups? I just, Ashley, I really, really, really cannot identify with that.
Look, I feel extremely disappointed by those events. And what I'll say, you know, another thing that I feel very disappointed by, which is what I actually wanted to mention.
Yes.
And I hope that students are listening.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure they are.
I hope so. Because, you know, there were a group of students that were saying that, you know, they were the new management of
this. Yes, that's
and
right.
And this is now under their control.
I saw that,
and
yes.
And I really took great offense to this, I must be honest.
Yes,
because I'm a lecturer at this university, and I'm also part of this.
Right.
And I want what's best for this. And what's best for this is to actually continue with exams right now.
Right.
And let's address these issues later on.
Right.
These issues are not, issues are not going to be addressed overnight. They are going to take time.
Yes.
But let's focus on what's important.
Yes.
And I really don't believe that most of the students don't want to write exams. I actually believe that most of them do.
That is correct.
And
that is
we should support them and respect their right to do that.
Now, Ashley, what happens in the following scenario? Let us take a hypothetical situation, say that WITS opens, say, just hypothetically, say in 2 days' time, or I'm just... just a hypothetical scenario. But let's suppose that the university opens and there are disruptions. Would you then support, and this is a hard question for anybody at WITS, but what does one then do if there are disruptions? Does one at that point call in the police? Or, I mean, have we reached the level now where their requests, their genuine requests have been met in terms of fees, and where other deep concerns will be addressed, but after exams? What do you do? I mean, what would you do if you drove onto campus? Say the university was open on Thursday, and you drove onto the campus and the blockades everywhere. What would you do if you were in leadership in terms of police? It's a very hard one, but I mean, where does one say enough is now enough?
Well, look, Puff, to be perfectly honest, I'm actually going to the university tomorrow. I have a lecture.
Yes, good.
It is,
good.
It's been said now that WITS is going to resume its academic activities tomorrow.
Yes.
And I think regardless of any emails that are sent afterwards, I will be on campus for my students.
Good.
And I think the main thing is, if people try to disrupt my lecture, I'm going to ensure that my students are safe, first and foremost.
Right.
And I will just, you know, tell them to pack up and leave.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I cannot say what the university should do in terms of calling police.
No.
I understand that they also, you know, want to remain in control of the situation.
Yes.
And once you bring in the police, you do lose some control. So I am really sympathetic to that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it also makes me very angry. You know, that on the 2 weeks ago on Wednesday, when students and lecturers were not allowed to get into this.
Yes.
That made me extremely angry.
And was that police preventing one or students preventing one?
That was students preventing that one.
Oh, yes. The one 2 weeks ago. Yes.
Yes.
Now, Duncan has a question for you.
I just want to find out. Hey, Ashley. I just want to find out from Ashley. I'm fantastic. Could disruption ever be an excuse? Say now that you've been complaining, but your complaints are falling on deaf ears. Can disruption, being disruptive, ever be justified?
Look, this is a really, really, really difficult question to answer, but it is my personal belief that if you're going to fight for the rights, your rights and other people's rights, I don't think it is ever safe to infringe on the rights of others.
That is true.
What I maintain.
Because I know if I was a student that didn't have any difficulty paying my fees and I see all this disruption and my educator being interrupted, I would actually be really upset about it. But what I also want to touch on is the culture of marching and taking to the streets, protesting, as a culture that's been adopted by the current youth from the older generation. Is that the right way to go, you know, taking to the streets?
Look, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I mean, all this led to a 0% increase in fees. So it's very difficult to say. Obviously, students are, you know, they want to be heard. And as far as I know, most of the time the protests were very peaceful. I just think that there's maybe a group of people that take things too far. And I don't think we should judge the majority on what the group of people do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the public should ever lose sympathy for the majority based on the actions of a few.
I've got one more question.
Yes.
I just want to find out, as you, the WITS lecturers, what if you guys wanted more salaries, a higher salary increase? How would you guys have approached that?
Mm-hmm.
And your complaints were falling on deaf ears. Would you have stopped educating the kids? How would you have approached it during exam time?
Well, look, I can only answer for me personally. I'm not lecturing because of the money. I'm passionate about lecturing and my, you know, I love my students and my research.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, I don't think I can address your question on that because obviously, I need money, I mean, to live on, but...
I think what you're saying, Ashley, is that, and this is interesting for listeners out there, you know, Duncan, is that I was speaking to someone who's in business, in banking, and their bonus is 2 million rand a year.
Mm.
I asked the gentleman how old he is, and they replied 40. Mm. And so I think that people like Ashley, people like myself, simply never went into education for money at all, because we do not get that. we really don't. You know, on the one hand, there's huge strikes and so forth, and one can sympathize deeply so with the whole cause. But what Ashley has said and what you, Duncan, have raised about our salaries, I mean, that is something that I would have thought should have deserved not corporate but governmental attention years ago already, is that it is very well known that you, when you lie dying, a nurse is going to look after you, but they're amongst the poorest paid amongst the economy, the nursing fraternity, whereas they should be amongst the highest paid. And it's the same with doctors in government hospitals. Their salaries are not what they would be in the competitive specialist world. And, you know, Duncan, when I went into my career, I did a little sort of an IQ test, a career aptitude test. And they said to my dad, this guy must become an actuary. And I couldn't...
Oh, me too, Pop.
Okay, so we share that, Ash, is that you should be actuaries. And so we'd have salaries of a few million rand bonus per year. We'd have, you know, we'd have more in the bank in 1 or 2 years than I would have in my bank now. The interesting thing is that I would not have the personal satisfaction of mentoring my students, like I wouldn't have the personal satisfaction of, you know, Plutarch said the mind is not a vessel to be filled, but a fire to be lit. I wouldn't have the personal satisfaction of igniting people's mindsets. You are, of course, deeply involved, deeply so, and I salute you for being deeply involved in the world of the most incredible research, pioneer research, Ash, cutting-edge research. I mean, when you did your presentation, this lady did a presentation, Duncan, and I tell you, it kept me at the edge of my seat. I almost needed a neuron to borrow just to contain my excitement. But, you know, I just feel that it's a world out there which you can't put money to. You know, there's this tax, Ash, value-added tax. But for me, it's value-added education. And we give. We don't, you know, we don't give to get. We give. No. Is that the sort of ethos you have when you do research and have other students under you? How do you feel about the world of keeping South Africa on the cutting edge at this time?
Well, honestly, I feel as an academic in my position, I owe it to the country to bring passion to those, you know, that are my students.
Yes.
And when I have a passionate student in my class, it makes the world of a difference.
Yes.
It really does.
Now, of course, do you actually believe, I mean, this is a hard one and it's not fair to perhaps place on you, although it's a question on everybody's mind, is, the university has now said, apparently so, in an email that I got and that you've got, that it will resume its doors. I think it's tomorrow, Ashley.
It is tomorrow. So
now, again, I mean, I have lectured in extremely dangerous conditions. We're volatile. Let's put it, extremely volatile conditions. Duncan, I remember lecturing once at the university, and I was at the front of the... And there's a hall with 300 kids in the class, students. And they came tutoring from the back, the disruptors. And they came right to the front, right to my eyes, and said, Prof, you will put down the chalk. They didn't actually use those gracious words. They were a slightly more abrasive. And I had the button of the VC on my phone, and I just pressed it. But it's a very difficult one, isn't it? Because one cannot... I mean, I used to give lectures at the University of Fort Hare with soldiers parading around with machine guns. I mean, that's the other extreme. But the idea was they want to keep people safe. Now, you and I have the safety of 30,000 students at heart. What happens if there's an element of 500 who tomorrow decide, oh, no,
I think
the university's under new management? Yes, Duncan.
I think...
Sorry, Duncan.
Well, I think this is what I think, Professor.
Yes.
I think the strikes are going to continue until the fees are absolutely for free, until education is free. So this may go on until next year. Because
I'm a grandfather.
I think the students at first were striking because the fees were too expensive.
Yes.
And now they hear that they're going to get an increase. That just drove them mad.
So I see.
I think the initial idea is for the fees to be free. So they're probably going to fight until education is free.
Now, of course, Ash, that's a very difficult scenario Duncan's painted, because if that is true, then there are certain sectors of students, not too many, I believe, but a certain sector of the student body who would say, well, then we're just going to continue disrupting. Fortunately, I believe I have not been filled in on this in great detail, but I understand from what I've received, what our staff has received, is that the SRC is right behind the Vice Chancellor, Professor Habib, in ensuring that the university opens tomorrow, and they've apparently signed an agreement together. In your heart, we all believe, don't we, Ashley, that it will do so. But I love your idea of commitment, don't you, Duncan? That she says, here's a young lady, and she says, I want to be on campus for my students. I think that's extraordinary. You know, here is a young lady, a young white lady, and, you know, people are often dreadfully scared to go into any situations of conflict. And, you know, I suppose I grew up in an era at Fort Hare where I was used to machine guns around me and buildings going up in smoke and so on. But it's not sort of one's daily bread, Ash. If, for example, your lectures were to be disrupted tomorrow, would you just put down your pen or your chalk or whatever you're using and stop? Or, I mean, you know, there's this point that Duncan's raised, is if there's a long-term agenda, this could take years.
Look, I mean, that is a difficult decision. As I said, the safety of my students will come first, regardless of what my personal feelings are.
Mm-hmm.
My personal feelings are I would not be impressed if someone came to disrupt my lecture.
Okay,
I would try my best to reason with them.
Good.
If they cannot be reasoned with, then I will, to protect my students, I will just tell them to leave.
And to protect yourself.
I always say my students, because, I mean, to be honest, if one student pitches in my class tomorrow, I'll be there. So I need to be careful, but I'm not really, you know, worried about myself. As a lecturer, I think you have to be quite selfless to do this.
Yes, that's lovely.
And really want my... It's so close to exams. If it wasn't so close to exams, then maybe I wouldn't be so worried. But I am really worried.
Yes.
And I just don't want my students failing. I mean, I'm teaching mathematical modeling.
Yes.
It's already really difficult as it is.
Yes.
And with the extra disruptions, it's really making me nervous.
You know, Professor,
about the pass rate.
I think this
could be a way for some students just to run away from exams and escape them.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
I think what Duncan is raising there, Ash, is a very important point in this little talk today called Galaxies in Collision, is that we're looking at galaxies on Earth colliding. And the point really is that there seem to be, yesterday especially at Senate, I did notice, and of course, again, I'm not betraying confidence because it went viral and went around the world, but there was definitely there were people with different agendas at the, in the crowd outside, and also, unfortunately, inside as well, until this group was asked to leave. So, I think that you've got a very volatile situation. Once political genders enter examination timetables, then it is not for the cause of the students, but it really is for one's political ethos, or whatever word one wishes to use. And then, but you know, Ash, I must say this, and to all our listeners, my heart bleeds at so many universities being closed, like UCT as well. My heart bleeds for those 99% of the students now, I believe, who want to write the exams, who want to... They've worked so hard, these students have, so hard, for so many years. You know, just imagine, you may have a student there whose mother is a worker at a bank. She's perhaps a cleaner at a bank. Her father perhaps is a gardener in some building or somewhere at, you know, some resort. I'm just giving an imaginary scenario. And, you know, their monthly income is so meager. And then they've worked so hard, and perhaps they've got scholarships, and they've got worked so hard, and this is their final year. Graduation is just around the corner. What is going to happen, Ashley, to the graduations?
Well, I don't know, Prof. Even, you know, some of the honor students that I know of, they actually start working December.
Yes, that's true.
So, I mean, that's going to be a huge thing as well if exams are postponed.
Now, you see,
and also people overseas with, you know, that have visas and all of that.
Absolutely.
Also the people that stay at Res.
Yes.
There's a whole issue with that.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. I think Res closes, I could be wrong. I think it closes at the end of November or something.
Yes.
So if exams are extended into December, I don't know what's going to happen with that.
Yes.
So I don't know. I think the majority of students actually do want to write. That's, you know, from what I gather.
Yes.
From the news and all of that.
Yes.
And I really hope these disruptions do stop. As I said before, I was very supportive of the initial process.
Yes.
I really was. Okay. And I commend our students.
You know, I'm just looking at some...
Try not to focus.
I'm just looking at some beautiful quotes. Robert Frost said, and I quote, "I am not a teacher, but an awakener." And an anonymous proverb, "Education is a gift that none can take away." And there's a lovely Tibetan proverb which Duncan has brought up. "A child without education is like a bird without wings." And George Washington Carver said, and I quote, "Education is the key to unlock the golden door of freedom." And also, Aristotle said, "The roots of education are bitter, but the fruit is sweet."
Hmm.
And Nelson Mandela himself, and I quote, "Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world." So here are students, 99% of them, I think now, who really want to change the world positively and who want to write the exams and who want to graduate in December and who have booked overseas trips and whose visas will expire and so forth. And I think that you and I, Ash, find oneself on a precipice in that one's heart bleeds so much, and yet it is always the safety of the students and then secondary ourselves to ensure that nobody is harmed.
Exactly, possibly. I mean, you have to, I kind of feel, in a way, partly responsible for my students.
Yes.
And I try and make an effort every single year to, despite having a class of, you know, 150, 160 students,
yes,
I try my best to get to know each and every one of them.
Wonderful.
And I know that there are real hardships that some of them face.
Now, Ashley, amongst your students, how do they feel? I mean, you must have, I don't know if you have interacted them by SMS or email or something, since the closure and disruption. How do your students feel? Can you tell us?
Well, look, my second-year students, I haven't had much contact apart from, you know, emails.
But your honors
to them.
And so on?
My honors are, they really do want to write the exams. The two that I'm supervising for their projects are starting work in December.
Yes.
So they are very, very, very stressed out about this whole situation. But, look, I'm just going to say openly, I know that the university was closed, but I wasn't going to jeopardize my students' projects, so I did make a plan to meet with my two students outside of university.
That's incredible. I salute you for that, Duncan. Isn't that awesome?
It's applaudable, Professor.
That is absolutely...
I know that the SRC was saying at some stage that lecturers that arrange to meet their students outside, that they should kind of be made accountable for their actions since, you know, the university was closed.
Yes.
But my honor students asked for my help, and I will not turn down any student that asks for my help.
Yes, yes.
Be it a second year, if they had to email me, "I'm worried about my exams," I will make a plan to meet them somewhere.
Yes.
And, you know, no person will tell me otherwise, because I know that that is best for my students.
Right. You know, we're thinking of Albert Einstein, who said, and I quote, and Duncan's just put this up on the screen, "The value of a college education is not the learning of many facts, but the training of the mind to think." And I think that what is happening now is a failure to think rationally.
Yeah.
I think that we've crossed the bridge of the 0% now increase, and we are, I believe, we're entering a domain now of not thinking rationally, where perhaps a few elements are atop of a different agenda driving this process. One can think of no one better than Dr. Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream, Jr. And, you know, he again put so much emphasis, Ashley, on this. He said intelligence plus character, that is the goal of true education. And one's heart bleeds. But one thing in conclusion that I do want to salute Ashley for today, Edwards, is, Duncan, here we have a young white lecturer in our department, in our school. She's willing to go in when others are not. Mm. She's willing to be there for her students, even when the university's closed. Now, I know the extreme dangers one can face when you do that. I did that at the University of Fort Hare, but it is not done lightly. It is sometimes a pretty volatile situation, to say the least. And I think that I have to applaud Ashley today for coming online so openly, for being one of Witz's research stars, truly. I really regard her in that light as one of Witz's truly shining research stars.
Absolutely.
And yet she is so committed, she identified, as you can hear in her voice, with the whole cause of the protest, which went national. And for that, we salute everyone involved that, you know, it's got the ears of the absolute highest authorities. But now we've reached a turning point in the road. The road is forking. And the fork in the road, which Ashley faces, is that her students want to write. They want to graduate. They deserve to write. They deserve to graduate.
Absolutely.
And I would make a public appeal to anyone listening on this broadcast and this feed, is that galaxies collide in heaven and on earth, and we'll be discussing the heavenly ones in a moment. But as these galaxies collide and you've got different agendas, let us look at the long-term goal. Let us not focus at a short-term goal. The issue of outsourcing will be solved. The issues being raised will be solved. But we need time. One of the most amazing things, listeners, is that the universe takes time to achieve its goals. Stars are not simply born yesterday and start their thermonuclear fusion and come into full fruition today. It takes time. It takes billions of years for baby stars to be born, for stars to mature, and for stars to start radiating the sort of light that they do. But the universe is always goal-orientated, and the goal of the universe is to produce jewels such as Ashley Hutchison at the School of Computer Science and Applied Mathematics, because it's with such people. That is why, Duncan, people ask me, Prof, why are you still at Wits? Why don't you, for example, go and, you know, work in Australia, for example? And the reason I always say is because I've had students like Mr. Zulu, one of my top scorers, nearly at 100% in engineering. Wow. I have students like Ashley. I've had huge numbers of students, wonderful jewels at the University of Fort Hare, many occupying the top positions in South African society today. And, you know, they've been SMSing me. They've been SMSing me. The ones I taught at the University of Fort Hare, and said, why let a few, you know, people who are sort of at the moment out of control, jeopardize the careers of those wanting to write? And so I would make a very, very genuine, heartfelt appeal, having lectured at Fort Fear, and, you know, with my wife having been in Soweto for over 25 years, and so identifying with the cause of the struggle and so forth, I would really appeal for sanity to prevail, for calmness to prevail, and for students to realize that the other goals which they do wish to see attained will be attained, but will be attained in due course. Ashley, it's just been awesome having you,
thank you so
on
much,
the line, and I trust you've encouraged multitudes to return
yes.
tomorrow.
I hope so. Thank you so much, Prof. Have an awesome day.
Thank you, Ashley.
So, okay.
Bye. So we've been listening to Ashley Hutchison, who is one of our lecturers on the staff at the school in which I work, the School of Computer Science. and Applied Mathematics, the Dean of our faculty, Professor Helder Marks, who's been doing an awesome job amidst absolute chaos yesterday. I salute him for what he has done in ensuring Professor, our safety and others. Duncan.
Let's just think about this properly. Let's break it down.
Okay.
Because you must think that there was a person, a student,
yes,
who woke up one morning,
yes,
and said, no, this is enough.
Right.
Because I think this comes from one person who woke up on a particular day.
Yes. And I think that's true. Yes.
So the root cause, I'm trying to trace the where it all began.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that a student woke up one morning and said, you know what, we can't do it.
Yes.
Or do you think, or was it something that affected all the students at the same time and they were like, no, no. There was one particular voice who raised this. Do you know who it was?
You know, I don't think any of us will ever know the answer to that question. It's very interesting what you ask. Was there one solitary person who woke up one day? I don't know. All I do know is that there's a huge level of frustration.
Mm.
And there's a huge level of frustration with the following, that people believe, and students especially believe, and rightly so, I must say, that they really feel the government has let them down with regard to education. Yeah. That's what they believe. That's their perception, is that the government has let them down. But now the president himself has stepped in and said there will be no increases. Where did this all begin? I suppose it's just like asking the question, where did the struggle to free South Africa begin? Was it Mr. Mandela? No, it was. There were people before him. Mm. There were people like Albert Luthuli. And, you know, people before that, presumably, who thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could live in a free country? And so on. So the way I see these paradigm shifts, Duncan, is you always get a giant emerging.
Yeah.
Like Mandela, mm, who takes us to the next step. You always get an Albert Einstein.
The hero.
The hero. The Martin Luther King, who says, this is enough. Now, it often takes one scenario for that person to rise up. For example, in America, do you remember the famous situation where there was a lady, non-white lady, who was refused to sit down on the bus?
Rosa Parks, I think.
That's exactly right. It was Rosa. Exactly so. My word, Duncan. That is awesome. And so Rosa was refused to sit down. And I mean, that sparked it all. That was the incident. And I think that what we are experiencing in the current climate is that it's a climate, it's a mood of frustration. And I think that, you know, Duncan, sometimes when you and I are living out our daily lives, it takes one little small event to cause an avalanche. For example, you might be booking an air ticket like I've just been doing to Australia, and you might find that very, very, very frustrating. Things go wrong. One is not given the right information at times. And so your frustration builds up. And eventually, you know, anybody, Duncan, reaches a tipping point. It's well known in psychology, the tipping point. Now, you know, which student actually reached their tipping point, I do not know. But you can see that this has shifted from scenario A to scenario B. Scenario A was, much like Cyrus said, it is only the ignorant who despise education. So that's the that's where we're at now, I want to say, is the ignorant despise education. Initially, it started off beautifully. Let's try and get zero increase in terms of fees. So that was a very laudable, plausible thing. But now when you get people storming the highest authorities at the universities, such as Senate, one has to ask the question, Duncan, and I don't know how you feel about this, but you're much younger than me and you can tell me, wouldn't you feel that these people are having different agendas, despising education by actually storming the very people who can help them, us?
It's absolutely true, Professor. honestly, a lot of people do have their own agendas. It's probably people that are against the ANC, the ruling party.
Absolutely. You never know. True.
But the common cause or the common good that we should all get from here, what I'm learning from this is that our youth, they want their education. They want to be educated. So that's the beauty. And they're willing to fight to be educated for free, which is something that they deserve, wouldn't you say, Professor?
So I think that Duncan has hit on a very key word. There is beauty. And I've been, of course, at innumerable graduations over the years. I can't even count or begin counting how many graduations I've been privileged to attend. And, you know, every time I see a student whom I know perhaps has lived in a shack, and that black or red gown gets placed on them, the people ululate. They are so excited. Why? It is a beautiful moment. It's a moment of joy. It's a moment of achievement. It's a moment of grandeur. It's a moment of splendor. It's a moment of victory against poverty. It's a moment of victory against oppression. It is a moment of victory of knowing you are now graduating as Mr. or Mrs. or Miss or Doctor or so on, but you are graduating. And I just feel that there's the scenario of the pure in heart, where the students genuinely sought to have a 0% fee increase. As I say, Duncan, there are many, many, many other issues on the table, but the boiling point, and this is why I've taken the entire broadcast today, the streaming, I called it Galaxies in Collision, thinking we might go into galaxies above as well, but we'll do that next week. But galaxies below, I use this word very carefully, galaxies. I see in students great potential. You know, Duncan, I was deeply struck by the eloquence of the students at the union buildings. I must say that. I was very struck. But, having said that, there were a fraction of students who went wild. Yeah. And that's the problem, is there were just so many students in such a degree of control, and even picking up litter at the union buildings. You know, I'm told that the WITS students and so forth did such an incredible job of just, you know, behaving themselves. And I therefore move from scenario A, Duncan, to scenario B, where it seems to me as if a person who wishes to deprive another person of their right to graduate is actually going against the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. I think that is crossing the line that Mr. Mandela and others fought for. The Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. I remember interviewing Advocate George Bizos, Duncan, in this very studio, where he said to us, every person has their place and right in the sun, according to the South African Constitution. And Advocate Bizos, it would be the first person to say that it would be a crime to see people, to deprive people of that glorious and beautiful moment to succeed and to graduate and to be kept. And so, with this as a boiling point on every one of our news feeds in South Africa and around the world, allow me, as your little prof who's been in this game a long, long time, to tell you that we're not doing this for the money. We're not doing this for prestige. We're doing it out of love. We're wanting to ignite the hearts and the minds of our students of tomorrow. People like Professor Andrew Crouch, people like Professor Adam Habib are really, and I sincerely say this, trying their best to bring order out of chaos. And allow me to ask you one key question before you think of any disruption tomorrow. Think of the goal. Think of graduation. Think of those wanting to graduate. Think of those who've given up so much and whose parents have given up everything for that day. Please, I plead, do not let insanity or lunacy rule and be the order of the day. This is Professor David Block, loving you and wishing you peace. Goodbye.
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.